I'm Poppy Jay, a documentary filmmaker and podcaster.
Do you think that there is something different happening right now?
I've explored divisive issues, everything from religious extremism to women's rights. Recently, I've been thinking about abortion.
2 years ago in the USA, Roe v. Wade, which was the landmark ruling which made abortion legal, was overturned.
There are now over a dozen states where there is a total ban on abortion, and it's a debate that's set to continue.
And it got me thinking about what's happening in my own backyard. The UK has been largely pro-choice for years, but when I went on my social media, I saw something that surprised me. Massive protests, loads of young people, and I really didn't think much of it. I mean, it looks like a protest for women's rights, for Gaza, until I saw the hashtags. And it is a march full of young people who are all anti-abortion.
We will end abortion!
And they all look Gen Z.
I'm going to hang out with some Gen Zers from the anti-abortion movement.
You've brought the sun to Croydon.
This is God's favourite place. God's favourite place is Croydon. Welcome to Croydon, born and raised.
To see if anti-abortion is growing amongst young people.
Would you like a leaflet?
When the US overturned Roe versus Wade and it ended the nationwide right to abortion, that gave the anti-abortion movement a real new energy.
I know there's a protest planned. People don't want me here.
To find out who they are.
The mainstream media makes out that we're all old white religious men and we are not. We're just normal young people doing normal things and living normal lives.
What they're fighting for.
If it was my way, abortion would be illegal and people would, if it was my way, people would be Christians.
And what does that mean for abortion rights in the UK?
I don't think that equality for women looks like dead children.
Young, British and anti-abortion. Central London. Poppy mounts her camera to a rig.
The anti-abortion movement isn't really something I gave much thought to. I mean, I know it's hugely divisive in the States, but I just didn't think that it was a big deal here. To me, reproductive rights means the right to have children and the right to not have children.
I did a bit more digging.
I'm surprised that the abortion debate is raging online, to be honest, because the number of abortions in this country is the highest it's ever been. I think I saw an opinion poll recently that said that Britain has been pro-choice for over 50 years. In fact, nearly 90% of this country is pro-choice.
Are our liberal views on abortion here, plus everything that's happening in the US, galvanising an anti-abortion movement in Britain?
Oh! You're pro-choice.
One of the loudest new voices is Eden McCourt, a prolific TikToker who's clocked 3.4 million views.
Hi, everyone. My name's Eden, and I'm an anti-abortion activist. That's right, an anti-abortion activist.
Eden's a co-founder of Abortion Resistance, a Gen Z anti-abortion campaign group. She uses TikTok effectively to get her message across.
Poppy's watching Eden's videos.
What I wasn't expecting was actually agreeing with some of them.
Pro-choice people. At the end of the day, we all know somebody who's had an abortion. And we'll never understand the circumstances surrounding the decision to have an abortion. However,
taking terrible. But others are quite challenging.
You know what I love? I love how every single pro-abortion person pretends to give a shit about born lives. Oh, what about children in foster care? Oh, what about children in the border? Yet would advocate to kill any single one of them if they were in the womb. Make up your damn mind.
Anyway, she's coming, so I am going to have to put all this away. Eden McCourt gets a lot of death threats because of her views. So we can't sadly film in her house or with her family. So we've offered up our base as a location.
Eden arrives.
Hi, Eden. You're welcome to our base.
Yes, it's wonderful. This is how I would live if I was not married.
What's it like in your house?
It's a bit messier because I have a baby. And another one on the way.
Are you pregnant?
Yes. I'm nearly there. I'm 37 weeks on Friday.
I saw on your TikToks that you like baking, and so you're going to be baking something for us.
Yes, so I'm going to be baking flapjacks because I love flapjacks and because they're nice and easy.
Eden's been active in the movement since the age of 16.
So when I was 3, my parents found out they were expecting another baby. And at their scan, they were told that their baby had a very serious condition called Patau syndrome. So Patau syndrome results in multiple complex organ defects. They usually don't make it up to birth, and if they do, it's very common for them to die, have really, really short lives. But my parents were kind of hustled by the medical professionals into, like, you should just have an abortion. They didn't want to have the abortion, basically. So my sister Josephine was born, and she did have Patau syndrome, so she was severely disabled. She couldn't walk, she couldn't talk, she couldn't eat. She was partially blind in her left eye, and she was also the happiest child I'd ever met in my life, to this day, actually. Even happier than my son, which is saying something, because he's a very, very happy child. She actually made it past the odds, and she lived till she was almost 4. Her life was valuable and important. After that, it was something that I became quite, like, passionate about. I looked up the abortion time limits in this country, which is up to birth in cases of disability. And disability includes cleft lip and palate or a club foot, which are things that can be corrected. Like, that, for me, I was just absolutely shocked.
I didn't know you could get an abortion up to birth in cases of severe disability. Most abortions in the UK happen within the first 10 to 12 weeks. It was clear Eden's love for her sister was a big motivation for setting up Abortion Resistance.
So this is our website. We have been told that we need death in order to be successful. Our mission is to empower, inspire, and encourage UK youth. It's kind of almost a bit more exclusive. If you are over a certain age, you can't come to our rallies.
What's the cut-off?
40.
So I would make the cut.
You'd
then
make
next
the
year.
Cut, yeah. You
I would make
fine.
The cut.
So you can come to our rally.
Next year, I'm not allowed, though.
You can join. You have 1 year. and it's all basically about mobilising young people. The mainstream media makes out like we're all old white religious men, and we are not. We're just normal young people doing normal things and living normal lives. Together, the young can stand up for the youngest. How we come across is really important. We don't use abortion victim imagery. We don't say the word murder. We keep religion out of the conversation. Basically, just talk about it from a human rights perspective. And I think there are more people who are pro-life, but they're too scared to say it. So that's what we're all about, is helping them come out and say, you know, I am pro-life.
You are a pro-life feminist.
Mm-hmm, yeah. I feel like the feminist movement has been hijacked by this idea that in order to be free, in order to be equal to men, we have to have the choice of abortion.
But isn't it just the idea of just having choice, not necessarily
through abortion?
Yeah, so I would agree with that.
100%, I would agree. Women should have the choice to do everything and anything, but I don't think women should have the choice to be able to then end the lives of their offspring. I don't think that equality for women looks like dead children.
Abortion kills innocent human beings.
I am intentionally a bit more inflammatory on TikTok because I think that's what pushes the algorithm. Like, if you're like, oh, you're not going to get seen. So you need to give that kind of shock factor for your videos to actually get views. No just and civil society allows parents to legally be able to suction, starve, poison, or dismember their offspring to death. Seriously, it's time to wake the hell up.
Do you think with an issue that's already so divisive that being a bit inflammatory makes it better or worse?
Actually, that's a really, really, really good question. It's got me exposure, which has then gotten me to private message people, which has then gotten a Zoom call, which has then changed their perspective on the pro-lifer.
Oh,
so
wow.
My whole thing about social media is get the attention, and once you've got the attention, that's when you can actually speak and find common ground. And so we need to change the culture and society's attitude towards parenthood, towards children, towards families. And then after that, we can just make it legal.
What about the unique situation of the mother? Being a single mother,
yeah.
I mean, it sounds like you've got a great network and a support network, and I'm Asian, we roll in big families, we have a great support network, but...
Not everyone does.
Not everyone does. So what do you say to those women who don't have the finances, but also emotionally, mentally, are just not ready to raise a child?
Yes. I mean, there's lots of different things that are happening in society that make people very, very nervous and anxious to have children. employers are not very supportive of women on maternity leave. Again, cost of living. So there's two things that I would address here. The first one is that once you are pregnant, there is already another human being involved. Then we have to take into consideration, is any of those reasons justified for ending another human being's life? So my answer to that would be no. But at the same time, in saying that, we need to really be working as a society to put systems in place that support parents, pregnant people, you know, who really are struggling. And so for me, I'm trying to look at this from, it's such a tough situation and circumstance, but I'm trying to look at this and what's the compassionate option for both parties.
Whilst Eden recognises there are social inequalities, I'm not hearing any real practical solutions for women who are in a vulnerable situation.
See ya, bye. You too, bye-bye, bye.
Poppy's cutting Eden's flapjacks into smaller slices.
I really liked her. I think she's really likable. I agreed with some of the things that she was saying up to the point. I thought I would disagree with a lot of her stuff, especially from seeing a lot of her TikToks. And she said herself she has to be quite, you know, she has to be quite inflammatory and give it the sass, but she's very calm, very measured. Her reasons for being against abortion is completely from a human rights point of view.
I can see how abortion resistance's secular approach might cut through. So, what's the current UK picture around abortion?
You can get an abortion up to 24 weeks of pregnancy if you get permission of two doctors. One in three women in the UK will get a termination. But if you get an abortion after 24 weeks of pregnancy and without the permission of two doctors, you could face jail.
Poppy's driving along.
That's exactly what happened to a woman in England last year who was sent to prison for a late abortion. Her case caused uproar, starting a debate about how far abortion should be treated as a crime. Recently, the issue has been back on the political agenda, with some MPs calling for a reduction in the abortion time limit, while others called for abortion to be decriminalised completely. Sian Nuris is a pro-choice journalist who specialises in researching the anti-abortion movement.
We're seeing a real shift in trying to attract younger people to the anti-abortion movement. You know, when Roe versus Wade was overruled in 2022, that really emboldened the anti-abortion movement globally, and the UK is not immune to that. We're seeing organisations like Abortion Resistance that are very, very new, very vocal, very dynamic, is reframing anti-abortion ideology as about women's rights, as about human rights, as about feminism, as about choice. But I think where we're really seeing that increase of activity is when you look at anti-abortion organisations targeting universities because they want a new generation of anti-abortion activists to go out into the workplace with anti-abortion views in order to push their agenda into the mainstream.
The number of Russell Group universities with a pro-life society has almost doubled in the last 5 years.
Manchester Piccadilly Station.
I'm about to meet Madeline Page, who helps students spread the anti-abortion message on campuses across the country.
Madeline, she's coming to give a talk to the Pro-Life Society here in Manchester. So she's... Oh, there she is now. Hi, Madeline.
Hello.
I want to see those banners raised high, and we're going to...
Madeline leads the Alliance of Pro-Life Students.
No to abortion!
Their aim is to recruit and connect pro-life student societies up and down the UK, but their presence on campus is not always welcome.
I know there's a protest planned. People don't want me here.
Do you often find that people don't want you in places?
Yes, this is not the first time people have protested my attendance.
Footage shot only a month before shows what happened when the newly formed pro-life society came face-to-face with counter-protesters.
300 protesters swearing at them, had these horrible placards. Eggs were thrown at the window. Some people were spat on. One of the girls was told to go and get raped. And the police had to essentially create a tunnel so that they could get in and out of the building.
Hi, yes.
Hi, can I just get the salt and pepper box?
Good, all right.
Thank you.
What is it?
Spicy salt.
Ooh.
I don't know what it is, but it sounds great.
Great.
Oh, right in the sun. Which I didn't plan.
Madeline's no longer a student herself, but her anti-abortion views were hardened when she was at uni and was shocked at how many of her fellow students were pro-choice.
I believe women deserve so much better than abortion. I've heard so many horror stories about women's experiences, and I don't think it's what women deserve. For women to feel like, in order to progress in their career, in order to have a home or be in a stable financial situation, they had to have an abortion. We're completely failing women. There's a group over there that are starting to gather.
My body, my choice. My body, my
Madeline's about to give her talk on campus, but she's met with a group of protesters.
Pro-life, that's a lie. You don't care if people die.
Does it scare you?
So the largest banner says, destroy the pro-life society. This is meant to be a peaceful protest. Destroying someone or something is not peaceful. They all started using their umbrellas as shields, basically, to not be seen. See, they don't want to be filmed. So they wear masks whenever they protest, which I find strange because if they are genuinely so pro-choice, why do they worry about being identified? Apparently I'm a cunt. There's a nice sign that just says cunt.
Is there any part of you that can see why they are out there protesting and chanting?
They think that we're these really evil people who don't care about women. And so that just is how they frame the whole debate.
You know, your thing is, I guess, I'm assuming, to completely make abortion illegal.
Yeah. Well, no, so we said that earlier, like, unthinkable.
Say we're in your utopia and women are supported in the home, in the workplace. What then happens to those women who find themselves pregnant but just don't want the child?
I just guess in my utopia that wouldn't happen.
Okay, in your utopia that wouldn't happen, but let's come back to the real world. There are so many women who just don't want to be mothers. I don't want to be a mum. What about those cases of women who just don't want children? Do we force them to have a child that they don't want, that they won't love?
But I don't think that's the child's fault. If they don't want to be a mother, I mean, I would say they're already a mother. They've already conceived and had a child, their baby, fetus, zygote, whatever term you want to use, living inside of them. So what they are doing is ending a life.
I wanted to dig deeper into Madeline's views, but we were interrupted.
Hi, sorry, I'm just walking towards it now.
The protesters are blocking Madeline's path.
Do you mind if I go inside? You don't want me to go inside? Okay, so you're not allowing me to speak? But you won't let me speak in the building?
Some of the protesters try to block Madeline from going into the building. Eventually, the police escort her in.
Madeline's just updating the president of the Pro-Life Society, so we're not allowed in. Where are you guys going? Okay, they don't know where they're going. I think we should follow them. Get your rosaries off our ovaries is actually quite a clever little chant. But I think now the group have found out where she's doing the talk. They are loud and they are very vocal. Is that a guitar I hear? Is that Lily Allen? This is the kind of music they must play in Guantanamo Bay when they're torturing people.
We don't care if people die! Pro-life, that's a lie! You don't care if people die!
We arranged to meet Madeline outside after her talk, but a large crowd gathered in the back entrance.
We're right in the thick of it. You want to go somewhere else?
I mean, we can't really go anywhere.
Neither the church nor the state, we work beside our faith.
I mean, right now, Madeline, you have a very fucking angry mob behind you.
It's kind of weird being followed by a lot of incredibly angry people, and I'm sort of like,
I'm not really sure how I'm going to get home safe at this point. And I appreciate that I'm laughing and sound slightly dismissive of it, but you kind of have to be, because if I'm not, then it's actually quite a horrific thing that's happening to me right now. That these people literally hate that I exist. They've said that I should die. They said that I shouldn't be here.
Pro-life, that's a lie. You don't care if people die.
I understand why the protesters are so passionate about protecting their reproductive rights. But I wasn't prepared for how hostile they were.
Do you think it's fair that all of you are following this one woman?
The protesters didn't want to answer my question. They hid behind their umbrellas and continued to follow Madeline.
The police take Madeline aside.
Maybe just talk you to a corner of the house somewhere. We can
wherever you want, where it's safe.
Who else are you with?
The two with the cameras. I don't know who he is. I'm with him.
Standing in a shop doorway behind a line of police officers, Madeline films the crowd on her phone. Now she's walking towards a taxi with Poppy following behind her.
They've demasked.
They're demasked, yeah. I mean, if anything, this is when it's more dangerous.
Why is that?
When the police have gone because they think that we're safe in a taxi and the protesters have dispersed. Now, you know, there's no police or anybody around to help if somebody were to do something malicious.
Bye. I think, despite having extreme views, the way they behaved towards her was unacceptable. Which is, I find so ironic, because the whole message of the pro-choice movement is having choice and being liberal and being peaceful, and yet, I mean, they weren't very peaceful. Does that mean that's how we behave towards people who hold extreme views? Would I behave like that to someone who hated women, brown women, Muslims? No, I wouldn't. I just think it was just not the way, it's just not the way we should hold conversation and discourse and debate and dialogue. If that was me, I would have felt scared. And I think she does feel scared, but she has to put on a brave face because she does this all the time.
Madeline's arguments, like Eden's, are secular. Other young campaigners take a religious approach. CBR UK are one of a number of Christian-run anti-abortion organisations operating in Britain.
They are an offshoot of an American group called the Centre for Bioethical Reform. I'm on their website right now, and CBR UK want to educate the public on the truth and the realities of abortion.
So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them.
I've come to meet 22-year-old James, who's been volunteering for CBR UK since 2021.
Have you always been religious?
When I was around 16, 17, I realised that I needed a saviour. I realised my sin and called out for mercy, and since then been following Jesus ever since. The Bible calls us to expose deeds of darkness, like abortion.
CBR UK are expanding and recruiting a new generation of UK activists, and their mission is to end abortion.
We want the nation to think it's an abomination, and we want the nation to believe that it is killing an innocent human life.
How do you think you can get the nation to think that it's an abomination?
By showing them the reality of abortion, by speaking with people, by engaging people. I'm called to expose it to the world. I think it's a genocide in our nation.
When you use the word genocide, do you really see it as a genocide?
Yeah, I think 10 million since 1967, when it was legalised.
Do you see why women would seek to have abortions?
Yeah, but I don't think the solution is to give the death penalty to the child.
What is the solution? If it's not abortion, what do you offer?
CBR UK offer help. They have Hope Pregnancy. They have ministries that help pregnant women who are particularly struggling.
What if you have women who are not religious?
They don't only offer help to religious people.
What if these women don't want to engage
with an organisation that has, say, religious affiliations, what does she do?
I find help somewhere else.
Do you think it's easy for women to just find some help somewhere else?
No, not at all. Around 98% of women who get pregnant choose to partake in sex. So they choose the opportunity for a life to grow inside of them through having sex.
What do you say then? Women should be abstinent?
If they don't want to get pregnant to the point where if they got pregnant, they would kill their baby, then I would rather them not have sex and be pregnant.
How could you tell people to not have sex? It's like telling them to not eat.
If you're married, go for it. Have sex.
A lot of people who have abortions are aborting their second or third child. So these women are already in relationships and they can't afford a second or third child. So that doesn't fall in line with your argument of don't have sex.
So now a woman is already pregnant.
Mm.
We're saying, please, don't kill your baby.
The fact that this fetus has the potential to be a human life trumps everything else.
Everyone acknowledges that when you're pregnant, it is a human life.
But scientists and biologists and neurologists and cardiologists, where the scientific community disagree is when that fetus is afforded human rights. And the majority of abortions happen within 10 to 12 weeks.
I'm saying that that right to life should happen because it's a human.
So it's not a human yet, though.
No, it is. It's at a different stage of development to a teenager. Does it mean that we have the right to kill the fetus because it cannot walk, because it cannot talk? I say the 10-week-year-old baby should have equal protection, equal rights as myself.
A 10-week-old fetus has the exact same human and moral rights as you sitting in front of me right now.
I believe both of us shouldn't be killed if we're innocent. Yeah.
So what about in cases of rape and incest?
Rape is also an abomination, disgusting and vile, even though it shouldn't be the child being punished, it should be the one who raped the mother.
If we lived in your utopia, James, you'd make abortion illegal, right?
if it was my way, abortion would be illegal. And people would, if it was my way, people would be Christians. People would believe that Jesus came to save sinners. We're called to confess our sins, so we're called to acknowledge them. There is a gracious God who is willing to forgive you. Turn to him, follow him, and you'll be redeemed, restored, and you have a new family in him.
James is really interesting, and he's very different to Eden from abortion resistance.
And Madeline.
He's just very overtly religious, and his religion informs his anti-abortion message. You know, he uses words like genocide and killed, and to me, they're quite strong words. We got into a proper little debate about when the fetus becomes a human and when it's given human rights. And where we have the biggest disagreement is when we start focusing in on the woman and her personal circumstance and her situation. And that is where I'm finding some pushback.
A line of protesters holding placards.
One of the key battlegrounds in the abortion debate has been outside clinics themselves. In the last 5 years, more than 50 abortion clinics have reported incidents of what they call harassment.
Poppy's driving.
I'm in Glasgow to meet a campaign group spearheaded by Gen Z, who are on the front line of the abortion rights battle in Scotland.
Hi.
Hello.
Come in.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Is it still raining?
It is still raining.
Poppy's led into a flat.
Is this called a Glaswegian summer?
Yes.
Because it's bloody cold.
Absolutely.
Alice was inspired to start campaigning after her own experience of having an abortion.
I just knew that I didn't want to have a baby. You know, it was quite an easy decision for me. And that doesn't mean that I took it lightly or that I didn't care. It's just that I always knew that that's what I would do. You know, I was 19 and in university, obviously didn't want to have a child. I wouldn't have been able to financially have a child. But also on top of that, I also didn't want to. You know, I think maybe a lot of time we hear from anti-choice people who assume that it's circumstantial, and it is circumstantial, but it's also a choice. So I went to my appointment alone, and then there was protesters outside. That added stress of having people outside with signs and placards, and it's really distressing. I don't regret it at all, but I do feel angry that there was protesters there to suggest that I was wrong. I think when we have this idea that abortion is inherently, you know, really scary and really traumatic, and that it's a horrible experience for women, that feeds into the cycle of kind of anti-abortion testament, because they want people to think that abortion is really traumatic and scary. And for me, like, the only traumatic thing about it was the protesters outside.
Alice and Lucy led a campaign called Back Off Scotland in October 2020, when they were both in uni. It was instrumental in a change to the law. Now every clinic in Scotland has a buffer zone. It's illegal for anti-abortionists to protest, block anyone using or working within a 200-metre radius of a clinic. If convicted, they'll face a fine. Buffer zones have now been rolled out to the rest of Britain.
Our campaign was never going to be about shutting down an anti-abortion view. And I think making sure that people view this as an access to healthcare issue, as opposed to it being about freedom of speech or like making it into a culture war.
You can have that discussion anywhere. And why do you need to have it outside of a clinic? If we're a country that offers abortion on our NHS service, then we need to make sure that that service is being offered kind of equally and accessibly. And for me, that means that there cannot be protesters outside.
Bye. Not every single woman who gets an abortion feels really traumatised by it. There are some women who this is the most natural and easiest decision to make. You know, for my own prejudices, I just thought it'd be this deep and heavy day, and I appreciate for some women it is, but also equally for other women, it's a healthcare issue.
Sian's walking along.
Pro-choice journalists like Sian are monitoring the consequences of further potential liberalisation of abortion laws.
Decriminalisation of abortion is really the next big win. A lot of people don't understand that the abortion laws in Britain, in England and Wales, are quite complicated. So in order to access an abortion, you have to meet the terms that were laid out in the 1967 Abortion Act, namely that two doctors agree that continuing the pregnancy will be more harmful to a woman's mental or physical well-being than ending the pregnancy. Abortion is the only health procedure that is governed by criminal law rather than healthcare regulations. That means women can be sent to prison based on a law that was created in the 1860s, when actually every woman should have the right over her own body and the right to end a pregnancy.
The right to choose!
Northern Ireland completely decriminalised abortion in 2019, which means, unlike the rest of the UK, if a woman were to get a termination without the permission of two doctors, she won't face jail.
I'm very hopeful for decriminalisation. We, you know, it's got a lot of support by the public, it's got support in Parliament, but when we get progress, we also get backlash. And I think what we are seeing is, on one hand, a sort of slightly nervous, slightly worried anti-abortion movement who is like, OK, they've had these wins, we need to double our efforts to really fight back and achieve our aims.
Flying over the River Thames.
Pro-choicers hope decriminalisation will happen in the rest of the UK.
Hello, Eden.
Hiya.
All right, should we crack on then?
Absolutely.
Eden and abortion resistance are hitting back. She's taking her campaign from TikTok to the streets of central London.
So we are going to Trafalgar Square. We've got our rally today that's based around coercion.
Can we see some of your posters?
Placards, yes. We usually do colour themes as well, so this colour theme is pink and purple.
Did you design all these?
Yeah. This is basically what I'm saying. So, like, if a woman has to choose between any of these things, then it's not really choice, it's coercion. Could look like a partner being like, if you don't have an abortion, I'm going to leave you. Or a family member being like, if you don't have an abortion, we're going to kick you out of the house. And then you have financial concerns. Or a girl at school or at university who doesn't feel like they can continue with their education if they don't have the abortion.
I kind of see your point, but they're
they're really big social problems.
Yeah.
How do you even begin attacking them?
Addressing them.
And addressing them, yeah.
So speaking to people on this issue, you know, on the streets, and just growing the pro-life youth movement, and if we can kind of cultivate that appreciation for life from its very first moments, then we have a hope at changing things long term. Thank you so much. You too, take care.
Eden gets out of the cab.
Oh, hello!
Eden's joined by members of Abortion Resistance and Madeline at Trafalgar Square.
How are you? Nice
hello.
To see you.
Eden wasn't lying about the age limit. I was definitely one of the oldest people there.
Okay, guys, do we want to start making our way up? And we'll get into our positions. Do you have your placard? You wouldn't mind just standing across in a line across this wall? Sorry, guys, getting for socials. I'm going to do a TikTok in a minute.
With her brightly coloured posters, you could be mistaken into thinking that it's actually a women's rights campaign instead of an anti-abortion rally. People stop and stare.
It's big enough that it makes a statement. So, yeah, the last rally, we had, like, 10 people, so, yeah. So this is a good one. Would you like a leaflet?
No?
No? Have a good day.
Hi, we're here to talk about coerced abortion.
Hiya, would you like a leaflet? Thank you. Hiya, would you like a leaflet? So we're not very established. Thank you for chatting to me.
That's all right.
Yeah, we're not very pro-abortion. Personally.
Yeah.
At all, yeah.
Amazing.
Well, keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Eden finds common ground with some. But once people begin to realise this is actually an anti-abortion rally...
What, so you agree with coerced abortion?
I don't want to have this conversation at the moment.
Okay.
I just want to find out a bit.
Okay, amazing. Thanks so much.
Things really start to heat up.
So we are an anti-abortion organisation.
Why?
Because...
You don't believe that people should have a choice about their own bodies.
That's very interesting. So today we're discussing...
Well, that's the truth, though.
Well, we're talking about coercion today, which is exactly when somebody doesn't have a choice.
If somebody forces someone else to do something, then yeah, that's wrong. But you're basically trying to get the law to force someone not to do something.
But we're not talking about abortion in general. We're talking about coerced abortions very specifically.
I know, but that's ridiculous again.
Why?
Because you're choosing a tiny, tiny
yes,
little thing.
And do you know why we're doing that?
It's because so that you can win people over it. All these things here.
Yeah.
It's about every possible
thing. No, it's not.
You can't say you're here right now.
I promise
you're
you.
Pro-life.
Yeah, I know.
Like, sure, I wouldn't want to be coerced into an abortion, but I also want to be able to have an abortion if I need it, if I want it.
I don't see abortion as a political issue.
Well, of course it is. You're trying to dictate another woman's choice.
I don't do campaigning. So I don't.
What are you doing now then?
We're speaking to people, so.
That's. Come on, that's just fucking semantics.
I agreed with what the artist was saying, and to be honest, I found her comments about the campaign not being political a bit misleading. If AR members standing along the entire length of the National Gallery holding placards about anti-abortion isn't a political statement, I'm not sure what is.
I'm not sure this is helping. This is not liberating. I don't feel liberated right now.
Okay.
I think probably.
Yeah.
Pastor or whatever.
No, we're not here because of religion. So what?
So what are you here for then?
To talk about coercion. That's the only thing. I'm not asking you about any other thing about abortion apart from coercion.
No, you're not asking anything. I mean, you're not going to convince
no,
me.
No, but that's not my point.
That my
no, we've drawn eyes to it. Don't lie. Come on. You know we have.
Yeah, but they probably think I'm drawing that somebody.
No, they don't. You've written I'm bloody pro-choice.
I know that artist guy is a bit shouty with you, but when he asked you what's worse, a coerced abortion or a forced pregnancy,
yeah.
To me, he did
he
have
had
a point.
I know what you're saying. So forcing someone to stay pregnant, basically, is what we want. And that sounds really extreme, but the other alternative of that is forcing an unborn human to die. Oh, Bella, if you move forward a bit.
An abortion resistance group photo.
Theme was coerced abortion, which... they define as, you know, women being forced to have an abortion, which I think is wrong. But on the flip side, I would also argue forcing a woman in an unwanted pregnancy is also wrong.
Standing on a high street, Poppy's wearing her camera rig.
Abortion resistance tried to find common ground at their rallies. CBR UK also does outreach in busy city centres, but they use graphic images to, in their words, educate the public on the truth of abortion. James is in Glasgow to bring the message to the street.
it will be interesting to see how they react to the images. It'll be interesting to see how he engages with the public. I wonder if he'll turn anyone today.
Hello.
James is wearing a body cam over a red high-vis vest.
Is your girl body cam?
Yeah, just in case, for our own safety.
A large display shows the bloody image of a 10-week aborted fetus.
I was genuinely shocked to see just how grotesque the images were.
That is very graphic. I wasn't expecting that.
A sign reads, abortion-related imagery ahead.
We're here to show people the truth. You know, if you're for abortion, then you have to accept the picture that we show, which is of an abortion. If you take issue with that, then my question is, why don't you take issue with abortion itself?
James is holding leaflets.
What's the aim for today then, James? What would you like to get out of today?
I'd love people to walk past and be convinced that they are horrible images.
But I think it's important to see them and stop thousands and thousands of babies being slaughtered.
James offers leaflets to passers-by.
Hello, sir. What do you think about abortion? Hello, what do you think about abortion?
Oh, thanks.
Hello, what do you think about abortion?
I'm against it.
You're against abortion?
Oh, yeah.
That's great. We are also against abortion.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, sir. What do you think about the issue of abortion? Hi, guys. You ever thought
James
about
was keen to show people the graphic images on the leaflet.
Have you thought about abortion much before?
I'm pro-abortion.
You're pro-abortion? 100% why are you pro-abortion? Why do you want to kill innocent human lives? Hello, we're asking members of the public what they think about abortion.
Let's go, free choice.
Not what you want to hear.
No.
James's display was drowned out by a pro-Palestine protest. It made me think of a startling comment he made to me when we were filming a few weeks ago.
What did you say the most dangerous place to be is in a woman's womb?
Yeah.
Do you not say...
In the UK.
In the UK, yeah. Do you think right now a 10-week-old fetus is in a more dangerous situation than a child, not just in Gaza, but any of the ongoing wars that are happening?
If there are 73 million people being killed in the womb, in that context, that is a very dangerous...
More than what's going on, right? Like, those people right there are screaming and chanting, free, free Palestine.
If you're in a war where all the children die because you're in the war, then obviously
that's more dangerous than being...
That's equally as dangerous. If both of them are guaranteed to die, then clearly both of them are equally as dangerous.
I was completely taken aback by what James was saying. The fact that he found both situations comparable was wild to me.
Hello, what do you think about abortion? What do you think about the issue of abortion?
The man walks off.
Barely anyone has stopped to speak to James, and most people have had their head down, walking straight past the giant graphic image. Naomi works in a cafe and has seen these images before.
I think it's absolutely one of the most disgusting and blatant, triggers for people that have been through traumatic abortions themselves. And I know people that have had an abortion and they are upset and they are angry and they feel grief and loss. And I think that the images, when it's on a public thoroughfare, and it's the kind of thing that could really trigger somebody into a really awful space, and it's not anything that you can avoid easily.
We're asking people what they think about abortion.
I don't think much, really. I'd rather not.
Right, yeah. Well, thousands of babies are being killed in the womb every year in the UK.
I don't think anybody should be, censored as such, but I think that as soon as you give people a kind of chance to shame somebody for personal choices they make, it snowballs really quickly. Like, everything starts with a spark, and as soon as that spark catches, then suddenly, we're in America, and you can't get an abortion at all, or your body's being policed completely, you know?
I was curious about the images CBR UK use and where they come from.
Are they from a clinic?
They're different images combined together.
When you say different images combined together, what does that mean?
They're like real images of sections, and they're brought together to produce the image.
I'm a bit
So the one of the aborted fetus at 10 week, is that not the original image?
I don't know about that one, yeah, I don't know about that one.
If someone sees that, they're clearly graphic images, and you know, you said that they're designed to be shocking because, you know, in your words, that's the truth of abortion. I guess if I was looking at that, my first question would be, well, where is that from?
How about when we next chat, I'll answer all these questions.
I asked CBR UK about the images. They said only the images of babies alive in the womb were composite. The aborted baby images are absolutely not composite or photoshopped images. I found James's message extreme, but I'd heard of other young Christians on social media who don't share James's absolutist position.
A rap video.
Michael, who goes by the stage name Faith Child, is a Mobo award-winning Christian rapper. His views on abortion are clear.
Life from conception, no exception.
Faith Child plays to 50,000 people in packed-out stadiums in the UK and abroad, and has fans as young as 13.
Faith Child strolls into a barbershop.
Before Faith Child can go on stage, he needs to get a fresh trim.
Faith Child's barber.
See, the haircut for a man, for a black man, it's not just cutting the hair off. It's something that comes with the man's personality.
Yeah, I'm a Christian. I was more or less born into it. The Bible teaches, you know, how to love your spouse, how to value life. I think there is now a wider conversation in regards to sex and even abstinence in itself as well. I got married as a virgin in my early 30s, and that is something very, very unheard of.
Talking about valuing life, what are your views on abortion?
I think I probably live in a grey area in which I'm all for the preservation of life. But at the same time, I do know there are instances where a woman may consider having to terminate a pregnancy, stuff like maybe rape. I would understand why a woman wouldn't want to keep that child. I don't think life is always as black and white.
Do you judge people who do go down that road?
Nah, I think judging someone just because they struggle differently to you is quite hypocritical.
And is that something that you, I guess, preach to your fans about, you know, following this lifestyle?
Yeah, 100%. A fresh perspective on life is what my music offers, and I love being able to be, I guess, the other when in a conversation of music.
So, Faith.
Thank you, bro.
Faith is back again. Look after yourself, man.
Will do, bro. Will do, bro. Blessings.
So I guess we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Yes, bright and early. I'll see you at church.
All right, see ya, bye.
Poppy's sitting on a garden wall, still wearing her camera rig.
Faith Child's more than a rapper. He's also a church deacon and invited me along to his sermon. Faith, you've brought the sun to Croydon.
This is God's favourite place. God's favourite place is Croydon. Welcome to Croydon, born and raised.
Look at your bits, man.
Thank you. It's a little something, something, man.
Look at this.
And we are in here.
Lord, thank you so much for this brief reminder of you being our father.
There's a reason why he's called Faith Child.
My mum and I went to have an abortion. Mm-hmm. And when she was there, God spoke to her for the first time, was like, don't abort the baby. She's like, I'm a single mum, poverty, domestic violence, four kids, how can I cope? And God was like, believe, have faith in me, and I'll show myself to be God. So I was a faith child.
Christian values run deep in his family. His mum, Mary, a pastor, told me how she really struggled.
I didn't want to believe I was pregnant. I was totally depressed. I was doing four jobs to be able to make ends meet for these children. And I had God. And I looked around in my bedroom and I'm thinking, how can you do this? You know I'm not going to be able to look after even four children. It's going to be a problem. And God said, I need you to carry this child. I know why I'm giving you this child to carry. If you decide to abort this child, I will not show you kindness. Ah, now, that got my attention. Before I could say Jack Robinson, I was pushing. I was feeling that need to really push. And that's why I gave him the name Faith Child when it was time.
Mary,
yeah.
You were nearly going to have an abortion.
Yeah.
You chose not to. What are your views on abortion now?
Ah, that's a deep one. I still believe that every child has got a destiny. I have compassion for those who probably were raped and so they are pregnant. I think everybody's situation is different. Not every woman has it inside them to be a mother.
I'm really glad that you said that, actually, because I don't want children. And that makes makes perfect sense.
Why will somebody bring a child into a world where mentally you're not even able to do it?
But you would be okay with them getting an abortion?
I would not condemn anybody who does that, because I wanted to do it. If I didn't hear God, I would have done it. It was a struggle. And I mean serious struggle.
Do you think that in the last 20 years, the church has probably taken a more liberal stance on sort of pro-life v pro-choice?
Yes. I definitely think understanding and empathy. And I use those words as opposed to tolerance. Because when you have understanding, empathy, compassion, that's different to tolerance, in which you're able to take things in a case-by-case situation. Whatever decision one takes, it's not a case of condemnation. Like, we're not the one to condemn them. God is the one that makes the rules.
Honestly, from everyone I've met so far, Faith Child is the one to me that has the most impact. Through his music, he's so approachable, he's so friendly, you know, he doesn't judge, he doesn't condemn women who do, he gives nuance, he's not so black and white. I mean, he comes as one big package, and that package is definitely marketable.
Come, Michael, let's go.
And I can see him influencing a whole generation of young kids to take on an anti-abortion stance. But in time, what does that turn into?
Madeleine's at the front of a crowd of protesters.
Who's excited to march for life?
It's the day of the 10th anniversary of the March for Life. Organisers are hoping as many as 10,000 people might attend.
Yes, well done for coming. Hello.
How are you?
Do you want a little smiley face? Okay, you need to be officially inducted.
I'm joining Eden and some of the other young protesters.
Hi, Father, how are you?
I'm great.
Nice to see you. Oh,
I've
well
subscribed
done for
and liked.
Thank you. I don't want to be near the singing people. We want to be with the chants, not the songs.
Hey, hey, ho, ho! Abortion Act has got to go!
Said hey,
hey,
ho, ho!
Abortion Act has got to go!
Said hey,
hey,
ho,
ho!
Be pass has got to go! Said hey,
hey,
ho,
ho!
Be pass has got to go! Said hey!
There must be thousands of people here, thousands. And the people at the front, I don't even know if I'm allowed to fill them. They all look under 18. They look so young.
Once the march arrives at Parliament Square, they're met by pro-choice activists and it starts to feel hostile. A placard reads, "Vasectomies prevent abortion. Snip, snip, hooray." I spotted James and he seemed to get into a bit of bother with the police.
James, what's going on?
I'm being pushed away, physically pushed. They're physically pushing me away. And all I asked, I just asked a simple question, what is pregnancy? I was asking the people, what is growing inside of the womb? What is it? Legal protection under the law to stand there. To stand
Do you?
There
and... Are you allowed to stand
on
their
yeah,
side?
I'm allowed to stand there. I'm not causing
well, why
any...
why have they moved you on then?
That's my question. That's a good question. They have no legal right to move me on.
James returns to where he was standing.
If the police weren't here and the security guards, it really would have kicked off.
I was intrigued to see so many religious symbols, given that many people at the march were young.
I have seen a fair few religious signs and Virgin Marys. Predominantly, do you think that people who are coming to these protests are coming from a religious point of view.
Yeah, 100%. I think the March for Life, as wonderful as it is, has a very strong Christian undertones. But I think as well, people who would want to come who aren't religious, feels like maybe this isn't quite the place for them because they can't relate to the Christian undercurrent.
Are you religious?
I'm religious, yeah, but I don't ever talk about my religion and abortion in the same vein. My beliefs in the anti-abortion movement stem from a human rights perspective rather than a political, religious, anything like that.
And Madeline, are you religious?
Yeah, but I was pro-life before I was religious. And for me, I studied philosophy, I looked at the science and I became super pro-life, started standing up for life.
Eden and Madeline said their anti-abortion position came from a secular point of view. But I wonder if they can really separate out their religion and their views on this issue.
What do you want to happen in society in terms of abortion?
I'd like there to be a cultural change, and that's really what I work to do, is change hearts and minds. Then eventually it can be made illegal.
So that's why we talk about this cultural change, so that women don't need abortion, women don't want abortion. And yeah, you've told me before, like, it's this utopian world, but why not have a utopian world?
Do you think that we'll get to a stage where society will think that abortion is unthinkable?
I hope so. Like,
I guess you believe that in cases of the woman being sexually assaulted or raped.
It's absolutely horrific, but it's also not the child's fault. And the child should not be punished for the crimes of his or her father.
You know, you've gone through this horrific thing. It's really traumatic. You don't have the support system. You don't have the help. You know, whether or not she's mentally equipped to deal with this, it's just a massive ask. And then to add insult to injury, as you both have said, we live in a society where we're not equipped to deal, really support mothers and women. It's just a lot to ask.
I don't think the scenario you've painted to me sounds like choice. It sounds like a woman in a very difficult situation who doesn't feel like she does have a choice, who feels like her only option is abortion. And that's not pro-choice.
I can't imagine many women saying, oh, just because society's ills are fixed, I'm going to have this child. I still think there's going to be lots of women who, if they've experienced sexual assault, they'll say, I can't look at this child. I don't want this child growing inside me. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I think it's a very, very, very difficult one because rape is so traumatic. Like, it's just awful. I think it comes down to, again, though, is equality at the end of the day. Do you believe that child is an equal human being and equal to the life of the mother? That's really what it comes down to.
It's been eye-opening following this debate. I think I've underestimated just how motivated the anti-abortion Gen Z voice really is.
Despite this country being majority pro-choice, I think with everything that's happened in the States, and actually being here and feeling how hostile the crowds were with each other, it could go any which way. The abortion debate itself has not changed. It's always been a black and white issue for the movement. But how it's manifesting is different. And the biggest difference now is that this absolutist rhetoric is taking place in the very binary world of social media. But what this does is it ignores the nuance and doesn't allow for the complex realities of the issue. These activists are young and they are in it for the long term. They know they are not going to change anyone's minds overnight. And their strong social media presence is just giving them more confidence. Yes, they might be a vocal minority, but they are effective at getting their message across. I'm definitely going to carry on following this debate to see where it's heading.
He's been everywhere, seen everything, and spoken to everyone. And you can catch up on his adventures. Watch all episodes of Louis Theroux's back catalogue on iPlayer.